Good morning. Today we're going to take a bit of a turn, and instead of discussing Chosh and Mishpat, we're going to do a little bit of Aruch Chaim. Now the truth is, at one point in the United States, Hilchos Shabbos is probably the most important halacha with respect to running a business with a person with a person's parnasa. Because at one point it was a tremendous nesayim. People worked in factories, people worked in retail, and for many people they were faced with a choice. They knew if they would keep Shabbos, they would come Monday, they would not have a job. And at that point, at that time, not having a job meant their families were literally faced with starvation. Now, Baruch Hashem, things have changed. And for many people, it's much less of an nesayon today. But of late, the pendulum has begun swinging back. And what's happened recently is new nesayonis have come up. But the nesayon today is generally very different than the nesayon that it was 60, 70 years ago. While 70 years ago was the nesayon of anius, a person who was desperate for a parnasa, person who Shabbos it was difficult for him, his livelihood was at stake. Today, b'derech klal, the shaylos that come up are an nesayon of ashiros, people who would like to buy companies, buy real estate, and when a person owns a company, especially a larger company, there's a pressure today to be open 24/7 to provide service around the clock. And therefore, there are new types of nesayonis. People generally don't have the temptation to personally go into work. But the issues are more having a business that remains open on Shabbos, having other people doing the work for you. And these are the halachos that we're going to be focused on. Now, one of the issues that people have is that, as we're going to see, that, I mean, we all know that frum people own real estate, frum people own nursing homes, frum people own factories. And as we're going to see, most cases, there is a way to do it, b'ayif and heter. There'll be different shitzos, there'll be chachila, there'll be b'diyeved. But there, b'derech klal, there's a way, if you realize the issue, there's a way to structure it and a way for it to be done. However, all too often, people who go into a business, they go look around, they say, listen, if frum people are in it, it must be okay. And they go ahead and they go into the business. And they don't realize that the other people who are in the business, they realize the issues, they sit down with the Rav, they worked out the Shaila, and they structured it by Ifen Heter. So while it almost always can be done by Ifen Heter, it has to be done by Ifen Heter. There's no nigu. There's no sense that, you know, you actually have to go ahead, you have to do the homework, you have to look into it and make sure you're doing it in a way that's acceptable by halacha. Now, every Rav knows, and this happens with disturbing frequency, that you get a phone call on a Friday afternoon. Hello, I just realized I bought a business on Tuesday. It's Shabbos in an hour. What do I do? Now, it's the Friday after the closing. So it's the Friday before the closing. Now, if you think about it, when a person buys a business, when he buys a piece of real estate, there are months and months of due diligence. He does inspections. He has his attorneys. He analyzes every aspect of the business. But unfortunately, when it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to halacha, it's all too often an afterthought. And b'derech klal, when you try calling Friday afternoon and trying to get a heter, you will probably get hung up on. Now, another, just to start off with a ma'isa shahaya, is dealing with someone who, the industry is not important, but he was involved in an industry. It was a family business. It was a huge, it was a sprawling empire of also, you know, many different subdivisions. And he came, he wanted to sit down and make sure that everything was okay as far as Shabbos. So the Rav asked him, I mean, you have businesses, you have a lot going on Shabbos, so what have you been doing until now? So he said, you know, my father, when he went into the business, it was some 30 years ago, he sat down with the Rav. And he has some sort of document, he doesn't know where it is, but something's out there. So the Rav told him to go back and go through his files, which he did. And ultimately, he dug up, he found a piece of paper, that the his father, when he had opened the business, had worked out a heter mechira. That's something that we'll discuss in a future shiur, where essentially he sold his business to the goy for Shabbos. And this had taken place 30 years ago. Since that time, the person had opened up a number of other businesses. I know he had gone into different industries, different fields. He didn't dream for him to go back and to revisit the issue, and he was relying on the fact that this first company that he opened was sold to a guy, and somehow there was an expectation that worked for everything. What they realized also is this had taken place 30 years ago. The guy was long dead. But what? Right. But again, it was something which it was just, he signed the paper, it was out of sight, out of mind. That's not the way it should be done. Hilchos Shabbos is real. We will go through what a Heter Mechira is, what the proper place for it is, but it has to be taken seriously. There has to be a Simas Lev. And with that in mind, we're going to go through some of the halachos that are relevant to running a business on Shabbos. Now, we're going to try not to get bogged down in Hilchos Shabbos. And we're going to try, we don't have a very good track record, but we're going to try to focus really only on the issues that are relevant to opening a business. We're going to have to go through some general klalim, some general halachos, but we're going to ask that as far as the questions, as far as the shaka v'taya, we try to focus on the issues that we're dealing with. When a person is running a business on Shabbos, there are three primary isurim that he has to deal with. The first is there's an isur of mekach u'memkar. A person is not allowed to buy or sell on Shabbos or Yontif. Now this isur is completely independent of any other isurim. If you're sitting there in a store, a guy comes on Shabbos and a guy comes in, he wants to buy something, even if you set it up where you're doing nothing, the guy picks up the item, he puts the money in the pushka, you don't touch it, there's no muktzah, there's no anything. But the very fact that you've sold something, or if you buy something on Shabbos, that itself is an isur of mekach u'memkar. The isur is rabbanon. It is either Rashi as tupshatim. It is either a gzeira that you shema yichtov. Ksiva, writing on Shabbos, is one of the lamates malachas. When you do commerce, when you do mekach u'memkar, we all know you need to keep records. You need to have some accounting system. So when you sell things, you write it down. You write it down if you sell it on credit. You keep records of your inventory. So Chazal asked mekach u'memkar because if people were engaged in business on Shabbos, they would come to be over the isur of ksiva. The other reason is from b'msoi chetzucha v'daver davar pasuk in Yeshaya that on Shabbos you're not allowed to be busy with your chafetzim or daver davar talking about things that are. Can't be done on Shabbos, or not. So, and mekach u'memkar violates this din of mimsoi chavtzicha. Mimsoi chavtzicha is mekach u'memkar. Daver daver is going to have to be. It's just going to be when it's going to be verbal. There's no action. It's just discussing things. We'll get to that in a moment. Either way, it's an issur drabanon. Mimsoi chavtzicha is in the pasuk in Yeshaya. The gzeir shem yichtov is clearly drabanon, but there is an issur of mekach u'memkar. Today, the questions of mekach u'memkar come up most commonly when you deal with people who have websites. People who have websites that are open on Shabbos, they're doing business, people are buying, people are selling. And that is where most of the questions come up. We're not going to discuss this today. This Mirta Hashem we'll get to in a few weeks. But this is the issue of mekach u'memkar on Shabbos. The second isser is an isser of schar Shabbos. And that is, there's an isser hana, if a person earns money on Shabbos, there's an isser to be nene from the schar. Now, the isser of schar Shabbos is related to mekach u'memkar. It's actually, the isser is, it's a gzeiro mishum mekach u'memkar. Because Chazal asked mekach u'memkar, if you're allowed to have a job, have wages, earn wages, or charge for rentals for Shabbos, you would come to be engaged in mekach u'memkar. And therefore, Chazal asur the proceeds, they asur whatever you earn from Schar Shabbos. Now, this is what seems to be a gzeir l'gzeira. If the whole mekach u'memkar is rabbanon, then Schar Shabbos, which is a gzeir mishum mekach u'memkar, seems to be a gzeir l'gzeira. But as we're going to see, when it comes to these inyanim, there are many gzeiras piled upon gzeiros. And we see it's the standard answer is kulei chod gzeirhi. Chazal realized that when it comes to allowing people to engage in commerce on Shabbos, if you open a Pesach, if you allow them any heter, then before you know it, there will be widespread chil Shabbos. And therefore, we're going to see there are many, you know, many takanos and many yisurim and many chumros that we find over here that we do not find in other areas of Hilchah Shabbos.
Not only because it's a transaction, but something going up in value on like Yom Tov or Shabbos, that's not a problem.
Correct. Schar Shabbos is only when you're renting something out for Shabbos or if a person's working on Shabbos. If you own a car or if you own a house and it goes up on Friday, it's worth $400,000 and on Sunday it's worth $410,000, there's absolutely nothing wrong with selling it.
Or and stocks, which there was transactions going on.
Correct, but that wasn't your transaction. The truth is, according to the halacha, Schar Shabbos is only when you're dealing with a rental. When you're dealing with wages, someone has a job. If you have a job that doesn't involve any malacha, this actually is more common for Rabbanim than it is for business. You have someone, he's a Baal Takeya, he's a Baal Kaira. So you think that he's working on Shabbos. Now what he's doing, there's nothing wrong with laning, let's say, on Shabbos. That's what we do every week. But if you're charging for it, if you're earning money for it, that is an issue of Schar Shabbos. Again, there are Terim, Havla, Dvar Mitzvah, we'll get to that. But the idea that if you're working on Shabbos, if you're earning wages on Shabbos, even though there's no malacha that's being done, even though the work itself is something that's mutter, still the schar, what you earn for Shabbos, is going to be aser. It does not apply by Mekach U'Memka. If you sell something on Shabbos, you're over the iser of Mekach U'Memka. But the proceeds do not become aser. Because Schar Shabbos is only when you've worked on Shabbos, so it's the work that produced the money. If you rent something out for Shabbos, that's also Schar Shabbos. However, if you sell something, the money is the exchange for the actual item. The item wasn't created on Shabbos, it wasn't done on Shabbos, it was just sold on Shabbos. So Bederech Klal, if you sell something on Shabbos, that will not have a problem with Schar Shabbos, that will have the first problem of Mekach U'Memkar on Shabbos.
So you can't put a stop loss on the stock if it hits on Yom Tov or something?
Okay, so that we will discuss. That pashtus would not be a problem of Schar Shabbos, because even if it goes up in value, like we just said, that's Mekach U'Memkar. It's not wages. However, it does run into the issue of Mekach U'Memkar on Shabbos, because you are selling something on Shabbos. You're not doing any action, but you're putting in the order to sell. And that, we'll get, you know, when we talk about Mekach U'Memkar, we talk about internet sites, we'll discuss that by Rikos. Oh, very good. So the reason is, by Mekach U'Memkar, the schar has nothing to do with Shabbos. Had you sold the item on Friday, you'd get the same amount of money. Now that you sold it on Shabbos, the money is not something that was earned or created on Shabbos. It's just the tmura, it's the exchange of the item. It shouldn't have been sold, but there's nothing special about that money. When it comes to Schar Shabbos, there you've worked on Shabbos. It's money that was earned and created on value that was created on Shabbos. There they after the actual Schar itself. So this Schar Shabbos, as we'll see, there are a number of heterim. Most famously, when it's Behavla, if a person works for by the week or by the month, where he's not getting paid specifically for Shabbos, it's a set rate for the entire week. There, the Chazal never asserts Schar Shabbos. There are other heterim, similar to Havla, but if you're charging for, if there are expenses involved, or there are other things that you can charge for, so then it'll be considered Bahavla. This will, Mirtz Hashem, will be a topic for a future shir, but this is the second Isser they have to deal with, and that is the Schar Shabbos. The third is Isser, and this is the most common, and the one that we're going to focus on today, is the Isser of Amir La'akam. We all know a person cannot do Malach on Shabbos. There are Lamatas Malachas, there are many Yisurim Durabanon. A person cannot do Malach on Shabbos. The Din of Amir La'akam, it says that not only is it Asr for a person to do Malach himself, a person cannot instruct a guy to do Malach on his behalf. Why not? What's wrong? A guy is not Mitzvah in Shabbos. What's wrong with telling a guy to do malacha for you? So here we find in the Rishayim three reasons why it's aser. Rashi says The reason is shlichus. We all know there's a concept of shliach shalom kemoise. If you send an agent, if you send someone to do something on your behalf, you want to sell your car, you're too busy, you ask your friend to be your shliach to do that. So halacha is shliach shalom kemoise. Whatever actions the shliach does is nesiachis to you. It's as if you did it. Now, normally, the halacha is by ein shlichus la'akum. A goy cannot act as a shliach. However, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, and it's not only in Hilchos Shabbos, it's brought down in other places as well, we say yishlichus la'akum l'chumra. That l'chumra, we treat a goy as a shliach, and therefore, the same way you cannot do malacha, you cannot instruct a goy to do malacha on your behalf. Correct. It is very clear the Isser of Amir La'akum is even by an Isser Drabanim. There might be some differences when it's because Amir La'akum is itself an Isser Drabanim according to virtually all Shitas. So when you tell a goy to do an Isser Drabanim, it's a Shvus de Shvus. Now, a Shvus de Shvus is still Aser, but B'makom Mitzvah, B'makom Tzayruch Gadol, there are certain B'makom Choyli, there are certain cases where it's Mutter. But without those cases, in a typical case, even though it's Drabanon, it's a Shvus to Shvus, it still will be Aser. So that's the first reason, Shlichus L'chumra. The second reason, the Rambam says that if we were allowed to do Malacha or have a goy do Malacha on your behalf, so it would be a Zilzul in Shabbos and people would come to do Malacha themselves. If every Shabbos, if it was Mutter to have a goy do Malacha, what people would be doing is they'd have a goy on call. Wake up in the morning, they would have someone do all the malachos for him, you know, turn on the light, turn off the light, turn on the air conditioning, put on the computer. You would just have someone doing the malachos for you. And eventually from that, you would come to Chil Shabbos yourself. And the Rambam says that is why Amir La'akum is going to be Aser. Lastly, there's another Rashi says the Isser is Daver Daver. That's the end of the pasuk of Mimtzoi Chavtzecha. Since you are telling a goy to do malacha, since malacha is something that you cannot do on your own, telling a goy to do or discussing with him, ordering him to do malacha, that is going to be an isser of davar davar, and that's why Amir La'akum will be asr on Shabbos. Oh, very good. So there are a few nafkamidas between these reasons. Let's say you tell the person on Friday to do malacha for me on Shabbos. So if the isser is davar davar, Davar Davar is an Isra. On Shabbos, you can't talk about things that are not Shabbos then. But if you spoke about it on Friday, there's no Davar Davar. Mashenken, if the Isra is Shlichus. So if the Isra is Shlichus, so we look at, that means that when the Goy does the Malacha, we look at it as if he's your Shliach, he's acting on your behalf. So if he's doing the Malacha for you on Shabbos, that would be Aser. Now, you'd have the same Afkamina in the inverted case. If on Shabbos, you tell a Goy to do Malacha for you, Matzoy Shabbos. So if the Yisr is Shlichus, so at the time that he does the Malacha, it's not Shabbos anymore. It should be Mutter. Vashenkin, if the Yisr is Daber Dover, then since the Dibur took place on Shabbos, it would be Aser. Now the Historius at Shuvah has another interesting nafkamina. What happens if you tell a Goy to do Malacha for you on Shabbos, and he says no, and he doesn't? So if the Yisr Amir La'akim is Shlichus, he's acting on your behalf. If he said no, there's no Isser. He didn't act on your behalf. Ma'ashengen, if the Isser is v'daber dover, the fact that you told him to do it, the fact that you're discussing a malacha, so then, once you told him, you're over the Isser. So maybe a shlamazel, you're over the Isser for no reason, but the bottom line is, you're over v'daber dover. Now, l'maisa, we paskin like all of these svaros l'chumra. It's clear in halacha that if you hire a guy on Erev Shabbos, you tell him to do malacha on Shabbos, it's actually the Rishayim learn out of a sugin bav mitziyah daf tzaddik that will be aser. Also clear that if you on Shabbos you tell a goy to do malacha for you after Shabbos, it's going to be aser as well. So these svaras are chadav v'loy pligi. It's not a machlekes. We pass them like all of them l'chumra. So what comes out is telling a goy even before Shabbos to do malacha for you on Shabbos will be aser. Certainly, if this conversation takes place on Shabbos, it will be Aser as well. Now, we mentioned before that the Isser Amir Lakim is not limited to Malachas D'Oraisa. Even when you're telling the Goy to do a Malacha D'Rabbanon, it will also be Aser. because it is a shvus to shvus, there are certain kulos, there are certain exceptions, you know, b'makom mitzvah, but b'derech klal, if there's no, very, if you don't have a very good reason, it's going to be aser. I'd like to go through briefly some of the heterim, general heterim that we have in Amir La'akam. I don't want to spend a tremendous amount of time on it, because b'derech klal, when a person is running a business, we're going to see, it's not practical to assume that everything that comes up, you're going to have one of these heterim. So we're going to have to deal with some of the global heterim. But just for a background, I'm going to go through some of the klal. The first is that there are more paskins. That the same way it is Amir La'akim is Aser, you're not allowed to tell a goy to do malacha. Remez is also, remiza is also Aser. Hinting to a goy to do malacha for you is going to be Aser as well.
Even
Erev Shabbos? No. Erev Shabbos is going to be different. Erev Shabbos or Remez is going to be Mutar. Now, even on Shabbos, the poiskim are machabes between the types of Remez. Now, let's say the light's on and you can't sleep. So if you tell a guy, if you pull in a guy and you say, you know, I'd really be happy if someone turned off the light. So that's a remez, but essentially you're telling the guy, turn off the light. You're doing it in a roundabout way because it's Shabbos, but it's beremiza, you're giving him a tziva. You're telling him, you're making it very clear what you want him to do, ba'if and remez. In that case, Ramah Pasins is going to be awesome. However, a remez which is not b'derech tziva, now, if you just say, you know, I can't sleep. Now, if you can't sleep with the light on, the goy will probably figure out why you can't sleep. And now that he knows why you can't sleep, he will probably be kind enough to turn off the light. So that is a remez. It's not a remez b'derech tzivoy. It's not, you're not specifying to him what you want him to do. That's a second step that he's going to figure out on his own. So that type of remez is mutar on Shabbos. Before Shabbos, there, the poskim say any type of remez is mutter. So, before Shabbos, if you give a hint to a guy, even blush and tivoy, even if you tell him that, you know, tonight, you know, the lights, the lights are going to be on tonight, and I'd really be happy if someone would come by tonight to turn off the lights. That would be that's a remez b'derech tivoy. But if that's done before Shabbos, that would be mutter. However, when you're being samech in these heterim, there's another very important set of halachas you have to be aware of. And that is that in Amir La'akam, so Amir La'akam means what? Telling an akam. It means instructing a goy to do malacha on your behalf. However, there's another set of halachas that even if you don't instruct a goy to do malacha, if a goy does a malacha d'oraisa for Yisrael, the halacha is he is not allowed to be directly benefit from that malacha, even though he didn't instruct the goy. The fact that it was done for him, there's an Isser Hana. Now, this Isser has limitations. The example is if you're in a dark room, there's no light, and a goy comes, he sees you sitting there on his own without any request, without any hint, he goes ahead and flips on the light. You're not allowed to be nene from that light because the malacha was done for you. When the Hana is indirect, for example, when the goy turns off the light, there you're not benefiting. When he turns on the light, he created the light, and you're benefiting from the light, that would be awesome. When he just turns off the light, and now the light is not bothering you, you're able to sleep, there already it would be mutter. So whenever you're trying to be soymuch on a heter of remez, remez just makes it as if you didn't instruct him to do it. So if ayidei remez, you get him to turn off the light, you're fine. But if you're trying to use a remez to get him to turn on the light, where the halacha is, even if he turns out the light on his own, there's an isser of being nana. So there, you can't rely on remez is not going to help you, and it still will be aser. Now again, there are all sorts of pratim in this halacha. If there's a little bit of light and he just adds more light, it's b'derech klal mutter. It has to be a direct hanof to your guf. But before being samech on remez, you have to keep this in mind.
When they have a Shabbos goy, like, you know, I guess he's getting paid.
Okay, we'll get to someone who's getting paid in a moment. We'll get to that. But even by remez, it's clear everyone knows why you're making the remez. When you tell a guy, you know, I really can't sleep because it's, you know, there's light in the room, I can't sleep. He knows exactly what you want. But if there's no tzivoy and what the malacha is going to do, there's no direct hanos haguf from what he does, There, there's no Isser of Amir Lakum. Now, another very important heter in Amir Lakum is that Amir Lakum is when you have the goy or you instruct him to do malacha for you. You tell him, turn on the light, or you even turn on the light is also even if you hint. What happens, and this comes up very often, if you tell the goy to do something, which is not a malacha, you ask him to clean the dishes. Now the goy can do it without doing any malachas. However, to clean the dishes with cold water is not gishmak. So it's much easier and much more pleasant to turn on the hot water and to do a malacha in order to clean the dishes. Now in such a case, where your request, what you ask the goy to do, does not require a malacha, the goy on his own does a malacha because it's better for him, that is not a mir l'akam. Because what you've asked him to do, or what you need from him, doesn't require a chilul Shabbos. He's doing it for himself, a goy is not mitzvah on Shabbos, and therefore there's no problem with him, with even if he chooses to do the malacha. Now even if you know he'll do that malacha, still, that's his decision. That has nothing to do with your amira, and that would be fine. Now, there is a discussion among the poskim how far you can take this. Say you live on the 95th floor of a skyscraper, and you tell the guy, you know, bring me up lunch Shabbos afternoon. Now, in theory, he can take the steps, and he can carry lunch up to you. On the other hand, by the time he gets up there, it'll be cold. It's not very practical. So, say B'Shem Rav Nissen Karel, he said, it depends what floor you live on. If you're on the third floor, where it's not a big deal, it's very practical and for a guy to carry it up the three floors. So just because you know he's going to use the elevator doesn't make it awesome. However, on the 95th floor, where there's no way this guy is delivering you this food if the elevators are not working. So in that case, that is the equivalent of ordering him to do a malacha, and that would be awesome.
You're not having enough in that particular malacha. You're getting your food.
That's true.
He did it for himself. No, so
if he can do it either way, it's practical for him to bring it up. It's not a big deal. It's just simply easier for him. That's one thing. But, for example, if the situation is such where if the elevator doesn't work, he's not coming up. It's too long. It's not happening. It's just not practical. So in that case, that is not. We don't look at the malach of Shabbos as just an incidental thing the goy did for his benefit. This is something that he needed to do in order to fulfill your request. No, because if you no one is coming up by steps to deliver this to you, then you needed someone to be able to go on the elevator. Now, where to draw the line? What floor is the Isser? I don't know. You know, you'll have to. It's a judgment call. But I'll cope on him when what you're asking for is something which just simply is not practical, even though it's in theory possible. The place can say will be awesome. Another common shayla is, let's say you tell a guy to, you know, you own a property, and he is under strict instructions that when it snows, he's got to clear out the parking lot within 2 hours. Now, assuming there's an Erev and you don't have a problem of Hoytzah, in theory, you can bring down, you know, 3,000 workers with shovels, and they can clear out the parking lot. On the other hand, it's not practical, and if there's a large parking lot, you know that he can't really, there's no practical way of doing it without taking a truck, without taking a snowplow. So in that case, you would not be able to use this heter. Mashenkein, if you have just a small area which can be done by hand, even though he will likely not do it by hand, because if he has a snowplow, that's what he'll probably do. But since it could be done, it's practical. As far as Amir La'akam, this would not be an issue. Now again, we'll get to other problems of malacha b'farhesia, zilzul Shabbos. I'm not telling you it's mutter to have someone clear the snow in a small property, but as far as amir la'akum, this is the crucial question: Does this task require malacha, or it can be done in a normal fashion without the malacha? Just he's going to choose it because it makes it easier for him. No, even chayyur should not make a difference.
What about if you pay him before Shabbos for, like, if you pay him enough that it would be worth his while to actually walk up the stairs, then he takes the...
If it's practical for him to walk up, if it's a viable option, if it's a viable option for him to walk up, if the elevator is not working, he would go up. It's not, you know, without a problem. Then that's a practical way of doing what you asked for. But in a case where if the snowplow breaks down, he's not pulling in 1,000 workers and shoveling this entire 3-acre parking lot. It's not happening, even though in theory it could. So then you cannot use this heter. Now another related heter is that when you ask a goy to do malacha, to do a task which does not require malacha, but there's a psik resha. Through doing this malacha, he will on the side it'll cause a malacha to be done. So there, even though it's a psik resha, even though it's certainly going to happen, since this is not what you instructed him to do, this will not be asr. In other words, it's only when the task requires a malacha to be done. If you're asking him to plow, to clear the snow, so using the plow is not a psik resha. That's what he's doing. He's clearing the snow with his snow plow. Mashangin, when you're asking him to do one malacha, and there's just a psik resha, something else happens on the side, there, b'derech klal, there will not be an iser of amir la'akam. It's not a psik resha. If you're bringing up the food, his job is to bring up the food. If the only practical way to bring up the food is to take the elevator, that's not a psik resha. That is how he brings it up. He takes an elevator up. The cases of psik resha are, I mean, this is not a good case because this case is also, you know, some people ask it for another reason. But if you have a goy holding a lamp behind you and you walk very quickly, so you know that by forcing the goy to follow you, so you're going to end up, the oil is going to slosh around, it'll end up, there'll be a psik resha, it'll be makariv, the oil to the ner. So that is a psik resha. That could be mutter, because you're not telling them splash around the oil, you're telling them follow me. Now it happens to be when you follow, and you're walking quickly, so inevitably some of the oil will end up getting closer to the ner, and there'll be and a malacha will be done. But it's not the instructions, not what he's doing. What they're supposed to do is just follow you holding a candle. Now again, in that case, Mishabura Asers, but for a different reason, but that's not for now. But the psik resha, the case is where it's something which is a result of the task. It is not directly what they're supposed to be doing. Right, that would be a case of psik resha. What he's doing is not, his job is not blow out the candles, his job is to leave the house. It happens to be when he leaves the house and he closes the door, something else will happen. Correct. That would be mutter. Now this entire discussion involves stam a goy. You have a goy, you tell him amir l'akam, you tell him what to do, you hint, different parameters. When a goy is working for you, already the halachos are going to be a bit different. And as we're going to see, there are three different types of workers. There's a poyel, an aris, and a koblin. And we'll go through, the halachos are somewhat different for each one, we'll go through it step by step. The first category, a poyel, is a salaried worker. He works 9 to 5, he gets paid by the hour. In that case, anything that he does, he's considered acting on your behalf. And any time he does a malacha, even if you don't ask him, even though he does it on his own, the halacha is you have to stop him. Because whatever he's doing, he's not doing it for himself, he's doing it for you, his employer. You're paying for his time. Anything, any action that he does is considered an action on your behalf. He is clearly acting as your shliach. And in such a case, it is always going to be awesome. And as we're going to see, when we get to the lamaisa about running a business, salaried employees are the biggest problem, because there'll be a number of heterim we'll deal with about a koblin and an aris, but if someone's getting paid by the hour, there are no heterim, and having a goy do malacha for you is always going to be awesome.
How about
it's
an annual salary, monthly salary?
Okay, so we'll get back to that in a moment. You know, a monthly salary where if there's a day, you know, if there's a snow day or something, he does not get paid less. There, it is very likely he'll have a din of a koblin. Because even though he, you know, generally comes to work at certain hours, but if by not coming he does, or if you don't have work for him, or if he doesn't show up for a day, it doesn't change the pay, they already will likely have a din of a koblin. But we'll get to that. That would still be mutter. Because then it has nothing to do with the malacha. That malacha is not being done for you. That is... What? Correct. If he's doing it just for himself, if he's doing it just to make it easier for himself, that'll be mutter even by a poyel. Correct. So the first category is a poyel, yeschir yoim, he's getting paid for his time, and there it would generally be aser. The other extreme is a case of an aris. in Aris, we saw in the Ma'ar Mekoymus today, if you have a field, you hire a sharecropper, which means that the fellow works, the goy works the field, and in exchange for his labor, he gets a half, a third, or he gets a percentage of the fruits that are produced by a field. In that case, the halacha is, he's allowed to do malacha whenever he chooses, and if he wants to do malacha on Shabbos, that's perfectly fine. And the reason for that is that in Aris, a sharecropper doesn't work for you. He doesn't have a set hour. He's not under your direct control. You can't tell him, I want you to work 9 to 5 every, you know, Sunday through, you know, 7 days a week. If you do that, if you order an Aris to work on Shabbos, Roy Pleisman will say it's us. But the normal case is you have an Aris. His responsibility is you take care of the field. In exchange for that, you're going to be a partner. You're going to get a share of the fruits that it produces. In that case, we say that if the goy chooses to work on Shabbos, he doesn't have to. He can work on Sunday. He decides that he wants to take off Sundays and he wants to work on Shabbos instead. That's his decision. It's adaita denafshei. It's not being done for your benefit. He's doing it because it's more convenient for him. And he's working because he's a partner. He's getting a share of the profits. That's his motivation. It's not your instructions. So in such a case where he controls his schedule, where his motivation is he's working for the share of profits that he was promised, that is an aris, and there, even if he does malach on Shabbos, that is perfectly okay.
What if it has to be done every day? You can't not do it on Shabbos.
If it's something which physically has to be done each and every day, so then we mentioned before that even by an aris, kaveya malacha, if you tell an aris you must work on Shabbos, there's an Avni Nezer that's matarit, but all the other poskim asa. They say this heter is only when he could work on Shabbos. He could decide not. It's up to him. If you hire him to do a job that must be done on Shabbos, that's impossible to be, it just simply can't be done if you stop, that l'chari would be kaveya malacha. That's the equivalent of telling him you must do the malacha on Shabbos. And l'chari, in that case, it would be asa. And that's true. This is an important point. When we get to the lemaisa, we talk about nursing homes or a person has a mind, something which you can't stop on Shabbos, we're going to have to deal with whether aris will in fact be a heter in such cases. So the case of the Gemara is lumechta l'shlish l'reviyah, means the lowest case in the Gemara is 25%. Some of the later poskim, the Noi de Behuda, talks about giving someone a pruta for every 1,000 that he produces, which sounds like a much lower threshold. The Ksam Sofer Taka asks, he says it doesn't make sense. No one's working for a prusa over 1,000. And he says it has to be enough that he's motivated by the profits. You know, you're giving him, it has to be at least an amount where he's going to work. He's working, or at least working extra, is willing to come in on Shabbos because he has this extra profit at the end of the road. We'll get back to this more about Rikos when we go into Heter Mechiros and how it should be structured. But it is. But what?
What would be the
svara? His svara is that Lamaisa, he's a partner. He's doing it because he's getting a share of the profits. And even though it can only be done on Shabbos, since, you know, that's a technical matter, but since Lamaisa, he's a shotif, he's not doing your work. He's doing his work on Shabbos. That's his tzad l'hakol. Again, all the other places that discuss it argue on Avi Nezer, and they say that would be awesome.
Well, that would be okay.
Okay, wait a second. That's cooking for himself. When a goy does malacha for himself, that's generally mutter. Marbe b'shurim is going to be another issue. But over here, it's not called marbe b'shurim. Because over here, he wants this field to produce because he's a partner here. Now, it's true. The Yisrael, the Jew, benefits from the malacha Shabbos. Because through this malacha Shabbos, the fruits grow, they grow better. You will end up with more money in your pocket than had he not worked on Shabbos. But that is... That's a grumma. That's secondary. That's not the goy's motivation. The goy is working on Shabbos because he's a partner. He wants his money, and therefore, by an aris, it's going to be a mutter. So here we have two extremes. We have a case of a poyel, a salaried worker. He works on Shabbos. Even if you don't tell him to come in on Shabbos, that's going to be aser. We have the other extreme of an aris, where he has a stake. He gets a percentage of the profits of what's produced. There, even if he does malach on Shabbos, that is b'derech klal going to be mutter, provided that you don't order him. He doesn't have to work on Shabbos. The third category is a koblen. A koblen is an independent contractor. And here already there are a number of rules and a number of different gedorim we have to deal with. A koblen is someone who gets paid by the job. Person, you have a car, breaks down, you give it into the mechanic. So you're paying him a certain amount to fix the car. You bring a suit to the cleaners. You're paying them a set amount to do the job. They're not on a salary. You can't order them. They don't work for you. They're not salaried employees. You don't tell them when to work. They don't necessarily get paid by the hour. They're getting paid. Their responsibility is to do the job. If they work for 3 hours, but the mechanic calls you up and says, I spent 4 hours on the car, but you know what? It's over my head. I never really learned how to fix those kinds of transmissions. You're not going to pay him because you hired him to fix the transmission. If he can't fix it, he doesn't get paid. So there, a koblen who's being hired to do it, to complete a task. He is not just hired to put in the time. So there, me'ikar hadin, it should be mutter for him to do it on Shabbos. Because you hired him to do a job. When he does it, is up to him. That's his decision. If he decides Shabbos is the most convenient time to do it, because he has other jobs he wants to do on Friday, or because he wants to take off on Sunday, that's his decision. It's a da'ita d'nafshei. It's not your instruction. And therefore, me'ikar hadin, kablonos should always be mutter. Now, of course, if you tell him to work on Shabbos, that's different. If you bring in your car to a mechanic on a Friday afternoon, and you tell him, I need it an hour after, right after Shabbos. So if it's something which takes time, you're forcing him to work on Shabbos, that will be usur, even by a kablon. But if you give it to him on Thursday, where if he chooses, he can do it on Thursday, he can do it on Friday. So then, even though he chooses to do it on Shabbos, that's his decision, it's not your decision. And Megar Hadin, Kablonis is going to be mutter. That being said, there are a number of very important limitations. The first is what we just spoke out. Kablonis is only mutter when the guy could do it during the week. If you order him to do it on Shabbos, or the task and the amount of time that you're giving him makes it impossible for him to do it unless he works on Shabbos, that is kaveh malachtoi, and that is going to be usur even by kablonos. The second condition is that if the work is done in the yid's house, that is going to be usur even by a kablon. As if you have someone in-house working for you, and you hire them as a kablon, still, since they're working in your house, that's going to be usur, not mikra hadin. But the problem is people are going to see the worker performing this work for you, and they're going to be choshesh, they're going to think that you told them to work on Shabbos. Since there's Maris Ayin, it looks like it was done by Isser, it's going to be Asr Midrabanu. Lastly, and this is probably the most relevant in the context of a business, that if any malacha that's being done publicly, there's also an Isser of Maris Ayin. If you have the malacha, if any malacha on a karaka, if it's being done on a field, or for that matter, the place can discuss that they're working on a boat or a ship, where everyone knows this ship belongs to a yid, and everyone sees when you work on a ship, they have these big dockyards there, the ship is parked on the river, and everyone walking by sees the guy working on this Jewish-owned ship on Shabbos. So again, there's a Maris Ayin. People will see the work. They will assume or be choshesh that the worker is getting paid by the hour, he's a poyel, he's a schir yoim. They will not realize that he's a kablon. So in such cases, again, there's an isser of maris ayin, it's going to be usher to do the malacha even though it's being done ayidei kablonos. Very good, very good. We'll get there. So basically, just to briefly summarize, in the Isra Amir La'akam, we have three kinds of workers. We have a poyel, someone who's paid by the hour. Any malacha that he does, if you're instructing him to do malacha, or if he does malacha for you on his own, that is always going to be usur. The other extreme is an ares. If he's getting a share of the profits, he decides when to work, he chooses to work on Shabbos, that pederach klal is going to be mutter. We have a kablon, you pay him, an independent contractor, he's paid by the job. There, al pi din, it should be mutter. But there are a number of gezeiros, mishum maris ayin, if it's being done publicly, if it's being done in the yid's house, these are all going to be usur. Now this, of course, leaves us with a number of problems. Whenever a person has a business, he has workers, he has kablanim, he has payolim. So the question is, how can this be done by ifin heter? And the second question is that if there's an iser of marazayin, if whenever the work is being done publicly, there is a problem that people will assume that it's being done by a schir yoyim. So even if we somehow restructure the workers as kablanim, as arisim, we have to still deal with the issue of marazayin, and that in Mirat Hashem we'll discuss next week.